Alright,
welcome back to Spirit Sirens Podcast. I'm Megan Campbell, your host, and today we are talking about Hooligan's Irish Ginger Infused Full Strength Special Blend Whiskey. Alright, so let's get started. First things first with the bottle. First thing I notice is that it is matte black. Now, I'm not gonna lie to you, I am a sucker for matte black. I think it's very smooth. I think it gives sort of a mysteriousness to a bottle. I think it just looks very classy. It is also the cardinal sin to make a bottle that you cannot see through. This is definitely one that you will have absolutely no idea what is in this bottle until you've poured it out. It could be any color, could be any consistency, you have no idea. So the first thing I notice about this bottle, other than it is very dark, very matte black, is that it's got a little tag on it. Now, usually when you see something that's got a little tag on it, it's gonna be an advertisement or something like that. They've opted for this unusual, it's a rubberized casing to keep it on there, which is a little bit different. Usually it's just part of the paper of the advertisement that they stick on there. And it's got a picture of a grumpy looking nun, and it says, "This mother really is superior." And it's got signatures, J. Patrick Halligan, presumably that's the person who actually made it. It says, "Hooligan's Full Strength Special Blend is infused with natural ginger to offer a smooth and intriguing character, not unlike the character who created it. Hooligan's drinks superbly neat or chilled, and his unique flavor profile lends itself to all sorts of specialty cocktails. Go on, give it a go, or risk being a plonker." I assume that is not a good thing. Then on the back is drink responsibly, hooligansirish.com. Okay, so right off the bat, you're going for a certain something when you put a grumpy nun on the front. A little bit of a irreverence, I think, is what they're going for. To me, that immediately says something about who they're advertising to. We want people who are irreverent, people who are looking to have a good time. And then the actual front of the bottle itself, it's got hooligans, a little clover. It looks like they're sort of individually stuck on or maybe embossed onto the bottle. It's not just a single peel-on label. That's a little bit more expensive to do it this way, but the results are very nice, very clean looking. So it's Hooligan's Irish. It's got a big clover right in the middle of it. Ginger-infused, full-strength, special blend, grain-neutral spirits with Irish whiskey, natural flavors, and artificial colors, caramel, saffron. Got a little barrel, J. Patrick Halligan, not Hooligan, J. Patrick Halligan, distilled and bottled in Ireland, and it is 40% ABV. So unlike most flavored spirits you're going to run into, this one is, as they continue to say, full-strength. That'll make a difference if, as they seem to be implying, you are going to be using this in shots a lot. To me, when you go irreverent, when you go partying, then you're probably going to have these people looking at doing shots, especially with it being a flavored spirit. That's what I generally lean towards. Your goal is to be as a company. Nothing on the sides. On the top, they've got their closure, their mandated closure. It's got sort of a Irish design on it, the interlocked pattern. Then we turn it around. Imported. Okay, that's nice. That makes you feel like it's a little bit more Irish. And then Hooligan's Irish restates all of their stuff. And then on the backside, on the label, it says the Blarney. Patrick Halligan was a rebel, always in some kind of trouble with the three P's, parents, priests, fleece. Instead of Halligan, he was often referred to the Hooligan Boy. Fortunately for us, his behavior was corrected and he became one of Ireland's legendary distillers who followed only his own rules. This intriguing special blend is his legacy. Hooligans, his way. Okay, so cute little story. Definitely, I like the three P's thing, the parents, priests, police, if it actually gives you insight into the person who made this. I'm not sure, but it makes you feel a little bit more rebellious. It makes you feel a little bit more connected to the product. It's got sort of that light humor, but you can still, they're clearly not trying to just make a joke. It's just funny. You don't want a bottle that's actively trying to make jokes at you, like some kind of popsicle stick, you know? Kind of question the whole referred to as the Hooligan Boy. I'm sure they had lots of other nicknames for him, but that was by far the best one to put on a label to name your product, Hooligan's Irish Whiskey. I think that's a little bit convenient. Became one of Ireland's legendary distillers. I'm not sure how I feel about that. Ireland has a lot of really incredible distillers making really incredible products, and Hooligan's Irish Whiskey is not one of their well-renowned quintessential Irish whiskey products. It's probably, I would not expect from the bottle, from the fact that they say it's grain neutral spirits and whiskey and ginger, I would not expect this to be sort of the pinnacle of distilling technique. It's not to say it won't be a good product, but it's not gonna be sort of a collectible, oh my god, I have to tell all of my my good whiskey friends about this. They're never going to try anything like it. So, but overall, I do like the look of the bottle. The back is just a regular sticker that they've put on the back. That's interesting that they would do the front so nice, and then the back they would just do a regular sticker. But that's their choice. All right, so next thing we're going to do. Weight of the bottle. It is reasonably hefty. The shape vaguely reminds me of the 1800 bottle. It's got sort of that long, tall trapezoid thing going on. It's not completely square, which I like. I'm actually not a huge fan of, like, strictly square bottles. I think you put just a little bit of an angle on it, and it takes your bottle to a whole new level. The weight is there a little bit. It's definitely not a light bottle, but it's not really hefty the way some of the other ones have been. All right, so let's take a look at the website. So right off the bat, when I typed in Hooligan's Ginger Infused Whiskey, I had to scroll down to get to their actual website. The first thing that popped up was a Jameson ad, and then the next five things that popped up were where to buy Hooligan's Irish through other liquor websites. And then there was one that was a free WordPress blog that included ginger infused whiskey, but did not have the word Hooligan's. And then underneath that was the Hooligan's Irish Whiskey website. So that's a problem. From a business perspective, if someone looks up your name and a short description of your product, your website should be one of the top things that come up. You're not going to come up first when Jameson is paying God only knows how much money to Google to be the first thing you look at when you see Irish whiskey. Like, I get that. You're not going to be the ads, but you should definitely be the first or the second thing underneath the ads. And that's a problem. When I Googled it some other way, I looked up Hooligan's Irish whiskey, and it was the third or fourth thing that popped up. So, I mean, I'm not saying it's awful, but from a business perspective, they really need to work on that. So looking at the webpage itself, it's got sort of this sepia tone to it. I really like that. It evokes that historical feeling, that classical feeling they're going for. When you drink Irish whiskey, when you're feeling authentically Irish, you want to sit in an Irish pub, and that the sepia in the picture gives you that feeling. So they've done a good job on that. The background for all of this is a bar. That's obviously a good call. They're not, for a lot of companies, the background is going to be something like the distillery, or it's going to be people enjoying their drink. With this Irish whiskey, part of the quintessential feeling in the United States, which I believe they're advertising very heavily to the United States, part of the feeling that they're going for is part of being then in the Irish pub. When we go all out, when we have our St. Paddy's Day, or we're doing, Irish weekend, whatever, when Americans misappropriate Irish culture and just get drunk on vaguely Irish products while wearing green, we want to be in Irish pubs. If you've ever tried to get into an Irish pub on St. Paddy's Day without a reservation, you will know how absurdly full it is, how ridiculously packed it is. People want to experience that in a way that they just don't care to experience on another weekend. Or if you walk into one of those quintessentially Irish pubs, you're doing so with a certain expectation of how Irish you're going to feel or behave. You're going to be more inclined to drink something that's got a four-leaf clover and a big fat Irish stamped across the front. So they've got the bar in the background, all sepia color. They've got a picture of the bottle. They've got two shots in the front of it. Once again, clearly they're going for the shot culture. They want you to engage with their product on more of a party level. I will say the first thing that I notice is it's not a great Photoshop. It's clearly a background photo, and then they've got their bottle sort of poorly Photoshopped placed on the bar, and then they've got the two shot glasses with the reflection underneath. It's not a great Photoshop. I think personally, I would have just taken a picture of my bottle on a bar and done like high quality all the way across the board, but that's their choice. So we're going to scroll down. Hooligan's Irish Full Strength Special Blend is infused with natural ginger to offer a smooth and intriguing character. They keep saying natural ginger, natural flavors. For most people, for the layperson, when I say I use natural ginger to make something, you're picturing me sitting there slicing up ginger root and letting it sit and infusing it. For a lot of smaller distilleries or breweries, that's exactly how it's done. You're literally using the fresh ingredient that you say is in there. For a lot of larger distilleries, that is not the case. I have been to the places that make or use these natural infusions, and they are in a plastic gallon jug full of liquid, vaguely colored, flavored liquid, right next to the unnatural flavors. Just because it says naturally infused or naturally flavored doesn't mean it's the spirit, the craft that you're imagining as a layperson. They want you to imagine that. That's why they use those words. They're never going to say, and then we pour a bottle of ginger flavored syrup into 1,000 gallons of it and call it a day, let it pour and stir, essentially. Now, I can't say for sure which one this is. Maybe they were cutting up ginger, or maybe they poured it in. it doesn't really matter. The point is, as a consumer, you should be a little bit cautious when you see something like this, say ginger infused natural flavors. It doesn't mean that it's the craft that you're expecting. It's not necessarily what you're picturing. Natural just means not lab made. I mean, natural red coloring is primarily made from like some bug down in South America. That's not what you want to see. That's not like, oh yeah, this red comes from some little bugs down in South America. Here, have a red M&M. Like, that doesn't make you feel good. You don't want to eat that, but it's natural. So as a consumer, you should just be a little bit cautious of that, particularly if you're looking at something that's maybe not as expensive. If you pour it out and there's no sediment, there's nothing inside the bottle at all, it's a little bit more difficult to filter all of that stuff out when you're doing a truly natural product. And also, the larger the company, the more inclined they are to use shortcuts like that. Whether it affects the quality or not is a matter of debate. Okay, so you keep scrolling down, and the next thing they've got is the Blarney. Now, for the record, quick Google search on that word, the Blarney. The first thing that pops up is the dictionary definition, and it says, talk that aims to charm, pleasantly flatter, or persuade. So I actually really like that. I think that's hilarious that they would just like, the Blarney. Like, yeah, this is the part where we try to persuade you how cool that this product is. It's also a town in the Republic of Ireland, just outside of Cork in southwestern Ireland, which is probably, I think that's where I have heard the name before in reference to the town of Blarney. But apparently it is also a noun. To aim to charm, to influence or persuade someone using charm and pleasant flattery. That's a good word. I like that word. So underneath that, they say the Blarney, they are about to charm and flatter you into liking their product. That's where they go into the he was a rebel, trouble with the three P's. And then it's got four pictures across the bottom. It's got J. Patrick Halligan, the prodigy. It's got Father Halligan, the father figure. Presumably, yes, your father is your father figure. I don't think you really have to introduce them as a father figure when they're literally your dad. And then Officer Rooney, the constable, and Sister Justine, the angry nun. And it looks like I should be able to click on these and get more information, but I can't. And that's a little bit disappointing. I want to know more about them. And then they've got sort of this old English-y text font. The Irish have such great respect for the truth, they rarely use it. Author unknown. That's funny. I like that. They're doing a good job of sort of driving home the fun factor of their spirit. Like, this is not something to be taken super seriously. This isn't some sacrilege to mix. Like, we're just having a good time. We're being Irish in the American way with this product. This, to me, this is definitely speaking to the American idea of what Ireland is, what Irish people are like. It's a little bit irreverent. It's a little bit distasteful, but it's pretty funny. So then we're going to scroll down a little bit more, and it's got cocktails, drinks superbly neat or chilled. Whiskey and ginger lends itself to specialty cocktails and mixology. That little mixology tidbit, that's them letting you know it's not just for throwing in some shit. You can actually make high quality cocktails with this spirit. So then they've got a list. There's the Dublin Donkey, Hooligan's Irish Lime and Ginger Beer. That was the first one that I thought of when I saw this product. I was like, clearly this is intended to be used in a mule-like product. It's Irish whiskey, it's ginger beer. That's already a drink that people are already drinking in mass here in the United States. You might as well play up on that with something that's already got that ginger flavor. Then they've got the Angry Nun, this little caricature of an angry nun is actually quite cute. It's got Hooligan's Irish and Tonic on the rocks, and then Lucky Charm Shot is Hooligan's Irish, Midori, and any cream liqueur. I don't know how I'd feel about that. Midori and cream liqueur don't seem to go together in my mind. That's Midori is a bright green melon liqueur. That might actually just be for the bright green color. Now that I think about it, that would definitely create that, and someone who's drinking shots like that, in case you didn't hear my tirade in my last post, not particularly interested in shots. I think a lot of them use, as in this example, maybe this tastes good. I don't think it would, because I've done a lot of drinking. I'm pretty good at looking at a list of ingredients and going, why would you put those together? A lot of people will do something for the sake of how it looks in a shot and not how it tastes. And a lot of people will do that shot because of how it looks and not how it tastes. And I think that is such a garbage way to drink. If you are just drinking it because of how it looks and how drunk it gets you, you're gonna have a problem. You should be drinking it because it's an experience and it's got flavor and it's got personality, not because it's bright green and it is made with something that has a clover on the bottle. All right, next one is Irish Eyes, Hooligan, Irish Creme de Menthe, and Irish Cream. That does sound good. I think those go together. A little bit of ginger, a little bit of mint, a little bit of cream. Good call. And then Sweet and Tender Hooligan, Hooligan's Irish Gin, Sweet Vermouth, Green Chartreuse, and Campari. And then the next one, the Emerald, Hooligan's Irish, Sweet Vermouth, and Orange Bitters. Both of those are intended to appeal more to the mixology, the high-quality cocktail side. I would try the Sweet and Tender Hooligan with the Gin, Sweet Vermouth, Chartreuse, and Campari. I wouldn't really expect it to be that great. The Hooligan's Irish with Sweet Vermouth and Orange Bitters might actually be all right. And then they've got another quote on the bottom, "Work is the curse of the drinking class" by Oscar Wilde. Super into that. It makes me want to read a little bit more Oscar Wilde or get to know more about him. For the record, I know basically nothing about well-known writers. And we scroll down a little bit more. We've got the where to buy. Enter your address or zip code. Find the closest Hooligan's Irish retailer near you. Let's see how well this works. The request was denied. Okay, that's weird. So that's how useful that is. Once again, if you really want to know where to buy it, Google search it. Like I said before, my Google search of Hooligan's Irish Ginger Infused actually produced a lot more results for where to find it than the website itself. And then all the way down to the bottom, contact us for whatever reason you might in the future desire to contact this company. Please select a topic. What do they think? Oh, wholesale inquiries, where to buy, and general interest. Okay. So mostly, if you want to carry their product as a retailer, you can email them here. And they are on social networks, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Instagram is useless for getting to know a company. Twitter is also useless for getting to know a company. So we are going to go right to their Facebook. So first thing, Hooligan's Irish. They've got the page that you were looking at. Actually, I think it might even be screenshotted because they've got the little arrow pointing down indicating that you should continue to scroll. They literally just screenshotted that page and made it their background. So that tells you sort of the technological level that they're on right now. Next thing I notice, 97, don't let me shortchange them, 97 people like and follow this page. That is abysmal, truly, truly awful as a company. If you have been around long enough to branch out and be exported to the United States and you're in places that you never even visited before, your online presence has to be so much better than this in today's day and age. Maybe it's just their Facebook. Well, I'll check their Twitter and their Instagram and see if it's a little bit better later. Because this company might actually be more of an Instagram company, given that they're a little bit more of that party factor, a little bit more of that cool fun factor. Instagram might be a little bit more active for this particular company. So I just keep on scrolling down. Let's see. It did not take that long to get to the bottom of their Facebook feed. That was January 23rd on 2015. It says, "The Hooligan's Irish story begins in Wisconsin. Hashtag hooligans, hashtag whiskey, hashtag Irish, hashtag bro, cag, Irish." Oh, yes, okay. I'm probably gonna mangle that name. It's the name of the Irish pub that they're probably at. So this is where their first Facebook post comes from, and that is in 2015. So perhaps they actually literally only made a Facebook post when they started exporting to the United States, which I suppose could be pretty reasonable. Yep, they've got their profile picture and their background on January 26th of 2015, and they've started exporting to the United States and trying to tap into that American market. I will say I don't know literally anything about Irish social media culture. If this company would have not benefited from having social media when they were strictly in Ireland, or perhaps even though they are made and exported to the United States, they weren't ever used in Ireland before they started going to the United States. Like I said earlier in this podcast, I get the feeling that this is very much an American product. It was made for Americans, and the Irishness of the story is maybe flexible. I don't know this dude. I'm not gonna Google him. I'm not gonna do a background check to see if he actually had problems growing up with police and priests and whatever. I'm not gonna do that. But I'm telling you, from a marketing perspective, this feels like it's advertising to me, and it's St. Paddy's Day, and you're in an Irish pub, and gosh darn it, this is the product that you are going to enjoy the most. Which is true. A lot of people, you know, if you're the kind of person who's drinking shitty dyed green beer on St. Paddy's Day, you're probably also the kind of person who's going to be looking for the thing with the biggest clover, it says the biggest Irish, and you're just gonna go with it. And the fact that it's got Hooligans on it and it's ginger infused is gonna be all the better. So scrolling through, yep, they're in bars. People are tagging them in it. They are tagging themselves in stuff. That's good. They were a little bit more active, sponsored a golf classic for the record. If you've never been invited to a charity golf game, right? Everyone goes, oh, famous people doing a charity golf game or rich people doing a charity golf game. It sounds very upper class, fancy, schmancy. That is not the case. That is when rich people go get absolutely, completely smashed before 10 o'clock. They will start out drinking. If they don't show up kind of drunk, they will be pretty much anywhere between very drunk and obliterated before the last ball is hit, if they even get that far. I bartended a game where they actually, nobody even made it to the 18th hole. There were several golf carts crashed, and overall it was, I think, maybe not what I was expecting as someone who's much too poor to be involved in charity golf games. I was thinking it was something very, very different from what it ended up being. So apparently it's totally socially acceptable for you to be hammered before noon if you have in fact been golfing, which really explains a lot of people's love of golf that I was confused about before. So lots of posts, they are the ones actively posting. They seem to be representing relatively well, not high quality posts, literally just people posing with the bottle and a drink or the t-shirts, whatever. Oh, Halloween posse bar. They're not tagging themselves in where they are. I don't know where these, like, what city are you in? It doesn't matter. So let's keep scrolling. They are equally representing other times of the year. They are not just doing a lot of advertising right around St. Paddy's Day. Here's one from some kind of football-related event. All the way back up to the top, the last post they made, they shared a post somebody else made November 1st, 2018. The last post that they actually made was March 17th of 2018. So that's not great. It's what Dan from Death by Stereo enjoying Hooligans Irish backstage. St. Paddy's Day, punk rock. Yep, okay. So the last time they really advertised was St. Paddy's Day of 2018. So it seems like they've let it go a little bit, but quite frankly, there wasn't much there to begin with to let go. Let's take a look, see how their Instagram is, if that's a little bit more popular, if maybe we were right. Yep, they've got 53 posts, they've got 121 followers, and they've got 80 following. So assuming that all of these people are actually following them and this isn't bot likes or something like that, this is slightly better. 121, not too shabby, and I suspected that Instagram was their most appropriate market. Yeah, and then Twitter, they've got 28 people following them, and they've got 22 followers, so a lot of those are going to be like-for-like, follow-for-follow kind of situation, and it doesn't look like they have any engagements really on their page, so this is something they're probably, at least the way I've done it in the past, is you can set Instagram up so that it will automatically post that to your Twitter as well without you having to get on or engage with anything, and that's almost certainly what they've done here. So overall, I like where they're going with the product, with the image, with the way they're advertising it. They really haven't done any advertising. I think with a product like this, you'd be much better off doing essentially buying your advertising when you purchase sponsorship events for St. Paddy's Day in particular, but you could really do any of the bars and sponsor their special events, and that is probably going to get you a lot further than where they are right now, pretty much. All right, so the product itself. I've not tried this product yet. Let's see. And for the record, I'm sort of into ginger. I like ginger ale. Ginger beer physically hurts me to drink, and I don't usually have the ginger when they serve it with sushi. I don't usually mess with that. So as far as ginger goes, on a scale of 1 to 10, I'm probably like a 3 when it comes to how much you're into ginger. The smell is a bit odd. I wouldn't say it's especially alcoholic. There's definitely that like alcoholic burn that you get from some spirits. I'm not getting that, even though it's a 40% ABV. It's almost perfumish. Definitely a little bit of sweetness on the backside of the smell. The taste is a little bit perfumish as well. Almost like a candy, actually. It's got a little bit of a bitterness from the whiskey, I believe. It might be, they do put saffron on the front. That might be that sort of odd smell or flavor that's unusual. It's got a little bit of depth to it. I wouldn't say the ginger is too intense. There's like a little bit of a tingling. That's the ginger for me. That's how I sort of perceive the ginger, as a little bit of tingling on the tongue, a little bit of bitterness on the back and the sides of my mouth. I gotta say, I would not recommend this straight. I can see someone doing shots of this and not thinking too much about it, but it is definitely not a sipping drink as I sit here sipping it. It's got almost a medicinal quality to it. Like not as much as your Campari or your vermouths or something like that. There's just a little bit of something on the background, on the lingering flavor, that I would describe as medicinal or herbal. With that in mind, I can actually see how it would be a good ingredient in some of the higher end cocktails. It would play with the vermouth and the gin a little bit better than I originally expected. I do think my perception of it as being fun party spirit, if I were partying on St. Patty's Day and I did shots of this without any accompaniment or anything, I would be a little bit disappointed. I can see this with the Irish cream liqueur. I think that would probably balance out that bitterness a little bit better. Those two would probably play rather nicely together. I would try those two, but definitely not a sipping spirit. Everyone says their spirit is a sipping spirit because you can't come out and be like, well, it's kind of shitty by itself. So everyone kind of has to say that, but not every spirit is a sipping spirit, and that's okay. It's totally okay for your product to be specifically for cocktails or shots or mixers. It's not a huge deal if it's not okay on the rocks, because most people don't drink hard liquor on the rocks. There is a very, very small portion of people who are regularly doing something like that. I'm not in love with it, but it's not bad. And I think it's pretty much on par as far as quality with what I was expecting from this bottle, from the way that they talk about their product. And I do believe that this was made for the American market, for the party market. And specifically, they're trying to sell as much as they possibly can for St. Patty's Day, and then also a little bit in the Irish pubs the rest of the year. But this is definitely a cases on St. Patty's Day, let's move it then kind of product. You're not going to see it nearly as much the rest of the year. All right, so this one was a little bit shorter. Thank you for listening, and if you have any thoughts or comments, feel free to leave them. If you have any constructive criticism, leave that too. I look forward to recording another one. Next time, I am going to be talking about 1010, a new brand from Spain that's got kind of a couple different products. That's going to be a full written review as well as an audio review. So look forward to that, and I hope you had a good time and you feel just a little bit more informed today.